So this may be personal to some people. I hope we don't insult. Well, definitely going to insult Mr. Klein and Mr. Rasoff over here. Anyone else? Any other Kohanim in the Mr. Fleischer? Okay, no, fine. It's only two Kohanim we have, I think, in this room to make fun of over here. How special are they? Let's get into some details over here. How important are Kohanim when it comes to Zeman? Oh, okay, thank you. Sure, sponsored by Mr. Hilly Chazen. In memory of his father, Jack Chazen, Yaakov Ben Hillel, whose yahrzeit was on Adar, the 1st of Adar, February 21st, 2023, Shamash Rebbe Aliyah. So now you have your Kohanim who think that they're so cool, they're so special, they go first in everything. Is that true? You have at your house a Kohen, and you have a Yisrael, and you're the Baal Bus, it's your house. I think it's an easy call. You give the Kohen to lead the Zeman. Yes or no?
In theory.
This is our question. How important are the Kohanim? So the Gemara in Gittin starts off there. It's very easy Gemara, very easy Mishnah. Everyone knows this, especially the Kohanim. It's their favorite Mishnah. That these certain things are darkei shalom, will cause peace in the world. I don't know how much peace this actually causes. But Kohen Kora Rishon, the Kohen goes first. The Akrav Levi, at least in terms of Aliyah, as we're talking about over here, the Levi goes next. The Akrav Yisrael, and after the Levi goes the Israelite, Mimnei Darkei Shalom, because of peace, to increase the peace. And this halakha, this Mishnah, is included in Shulchan Aruch, and it is applied to many things. Kohen goes first. Kohen is supposed to be honored. I had a story the other day, a few weeks ago. Sometimes people take this to the nth, degree. I was at some shul in a different city just visiting someone, and I got there first, and apparently everyone shows up to that shul 40 seconds before shul was starting. Anyway, so my son and I were waiting outside for the minyan and mincha. Minyan on a Sunday afternoon start at 2. 1:58, there was no one there. Finally, 1:59, some guy runs in. He opens up the door, but then he had to carry his kid in a stroller up the stairs. So I, after he unlocked the door, I went to hold the door for him. So he's like, wait a second. As he's like carrying this stroller up the steps, I'm about to fall down with this 3-year-old in his hand. He's like, are you a Kohen? I said, no. And I held the door for him. And he's like, okay, good. If I was a Kohen anyway, it's still, he would be allowed to use me to hold the door so he doesn't fall down the stairs. So sometimes people take, the respect of a Kohen a little bit too far. I'm not saying we shouldn't respect Kohanim, but a little bit of Seichel, it doesn't hurt anyone anyway. But anyway, the point is that we are supposed to be Mechabed Kohanim. We're not supposed to use Kohanim for things that are improper. And the Gemara says they go first for everything. For benching, for Aliyahs, for Zimun. Everything is pretty clear on this front. Okay. Point number two. Does the Kohen have the ability to waive his right? Meaning, I understand that a Kohen is supposed to go first, but is it the Kohen's honor that he could waive if he wants? Says the Magen Avram, yes, the Kohen is permitted to waive all his rights, except, which is a whole discussion within itself, which is not our topic, because it's bench like a mensch, not getting Aliyah like something that rhymes with Aliyah. But is a Kohen allowed to waive his rights? The answer is yes, except for an Aliyah. Meaning, a Kohen shouldn't be in the room, according to many, and waive his... Now, a Kohen could walk out, that's a whole separate discussion. Is it encouraged that the Kohen walk out or not? Now, it's a whole discussion.
We don't even do that anymore.
What do you mean we don't even do? But is it going in the room or not in the room?
Yes.
So that's a whole discussion. That's a whole discussion. We're not getting into that. It's a different... When we do a series on davening and Aliyahs, that's always a fun topic. And maybe we'll do that at some point soon, because that's very always controversial. The Gabbayim always have strong opinions about that. And so here's the question. So can a Kohen waive at least the benching right? The Magen Avraham says he can waive the benching right. And therefore, if the Kohen... You ask the Kohen. You have a Kohen on one side of you. You're the owner, host of the house. A Kohen on one side. A Yisrael on the other side. You're about to bench. You say to the Kohen, do you mind if you're mochel, you're kavod, and we'll let the other person bench? The Kohen says, absolutely, it's fine. That's an easy halacha. Halacha is, you let the other guy bench. So far, so good. Are we on the same page? Oh, another Kohen came in. Okay. We're talking about Kohanim. Mr. Fleisch, is important to halacha for you. How important are you? That's the question. How important are Kohanim or not? So we have three Kohanim now. Now we could really move on. Says the Magen Avraham. Okay. But I've got a question. And the Mishnah Berurah alludes to this as well. He says, listen to this. He says, the Magen Avraham, right here, he says, "V'tzarich iyim." How come lama ein nisharin achshav lahakdim l'kohen l'chol hanachmili? How come no one does this anymore? Says the Magen Avraham 400 or 500 years ago. How come no one does this anymore? How come no one honors the kohen first? At least for Zeman, he's talking about. No, seems like the minug clearly was that who cares about those Kohanim? So what's the answer? Now, the Kohanim are not going to like this answer at all.
Is it just one of three?
Okay, that's an interesting point. Only one. You're saying one of three, meaning it's if there's more people, we would give them honor. If it's just three, we don't give them honor?
No, they're making the Zimun the same way someone else is.
Okay, they're not, their role in this Zimun process, if you have two Yisraelim, is equal. Okay.
They're probably not sure if they're
Kohanim. Oh, says the Magen Avraham, I've got something more controversial. Mr. Klein or Mr. Razov, no, Mr. Fleischer, could prove over here that you're a Kohanim. Prove it. No? Where's your passport? Where's your yichus, star yichus? Where's your proof that you're a Kohen? I have no idea if your great-great-great-grandfather faked being a Kohen, or Chas V'Shalom, in some cases, who knows what could have happened, intermarriage or whatever it is, who married who in the Inquisition period, who knows? I have no idea that you're a Kohen. You claim you're a Kohen.
Divorcee.
Huh? Divorcee. You've never proved to me that you're a Kohen. I have not a clue. So you're going to tell me if I go back to my great-grandfather's cemetery, I can see that there's the hands of the Kohen. Wow. Big whoop. That means that your great-grandfather may have thought he was a Kohen. It doesn't necessarily prove with any factual validity over here that you are actually a Kohen. Says the Magen Avraham, perhaps that is why we don't really honor Kohanim nowadays, because you're a Suffolk. You're in doubt whether you're a Kohen, which leads to the famous story, I think they say over, I never saw this in print, but I've heard it over in different versions, that the Vilna Gaon, at different points of his life, anytime he saw a Kohen, would always give him, the hey slatim to redeem his son as for Pinyon HaBen. Why? He did Pinyon HaBen when the kid was 30 days old. Point is, he wasn't sure that guy was a Kohen. And then he found a Rappaport. And anyone whose name was Rappaport, I think, he felt was for sure a Kohen. They had a Mesorah that they were really Kohen. And then he stopped giving it to every Kohen. But for years, every time he'd see a Kohen, give him 5 Slaim, just in case maybe this guy's really a Kohen. And the Kohen who did my bidding, I've been in my son, wasn't a Kohen. So you see, this concept of someone being a Kohen is not so clear. Okay. The problem is that, obviously, we don't follow this to a certain extent. Because, no, did you get Kohen this week? Did you get Leviah Kohen? Answer is, Kohanim do get Kohen. We do, for all practical purposes, use you for a Pinyon HaBen. Meaning we don't have, no one's ever asked me to be the Kohen at the Pinyon HaBen because maybe they messed it up and my great-great-great-grandfather was a Kohen. I have no idea. I'm assuming not. But no one ever asked me to run a Pinyon HaBen. So how come we assume the Kohen is? Because by default, when we don't have any choice, we need someone to be the Kohen at the Pinyon HaBen. So we put a Kohen in.
So is there a chazaka?
So is there a chazaka? That's a question. Presumably yes, but it's how much of a chazaka is it? We don't know. Chazaka means you have to have a strong knowledge at the beginning. There is no real knowledge. I don't know, Mr. Klein. I don't know. I have no idea. I only know Mr. Klein now for 39 years, right? Since I'm born. I have no idea what he did beforehand. For all I know, he came from a different town. Really, he was a Yisrael. Not a chazaka. He tells me he's a Kohen. I have no idea. And says the Magen Avraham, even if he thinks he's a Kohen, but we don't have to accuse him of lying, and maybe he honestly thinks he's a Kohen, but at some point, 500 years ago, it got messed up. So because of that, says the Magen Avraham, maybe that's why we don't honor Kohanim. All the poskim nowadays say this is not a great answer, as you could imagine, because we do assume they're a Kohen. Okay, so it seems to be, back to our point, our feature presentation, if I've got a Kohen on my right side at my house, and I've got Yisrael on my left side over here, it seems pretty clear that I honor the Kohen with Benjamin. Let's assume that None of them are a bigger, huge Talmud Chacham. It's not like I have Moshe Feinstein sitting at my table and a Kohen. Let's assume that they're both equal Talmidei Chacham, or for the most part, close enough that it doesn't make so much of a difference, and everything is good. Now comes the question, the exception. I read you a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that nothing to do with Kohanim. In general, says Shulchan Aruch, the oldest, most important person leads the benching. But that's when there are no guests. But if you are a guest at someone's house, the guest should lead the benching. Why? New? Why? Close? Shalom, you're too nice. Think of something a little bit more self-centered. Yeah?
Oh, they bless you.
Oh, excellent. Because the guest is going to bless the host. And so in order to encourage him and to, in those days, sometimes the only one who did the Zimun would sometimes be the only one benching, and everyone else would have in mind. But the point is that he should be able to bless the host. By leading the benching, he will give a bracha to the host. So says Shulchan Aruch, if you have a guest, the guest should be one to lead the Zimun. Okay.
What if the host is the Kohen?
Oh. So this is going to be, we have a lot of problems right now. You're reading into my whole problem. So it sounds like, from Shulchan Aruch, that it's better. Well, babe, I'll tell you why your case is a little bit easier case. I'm going to give you another hard problem also. But your case, you could say, okay, the host is the Kohen. He could waive his right. Meaning he could say, look, it's much better for me to get brachas. I want brachas. I want to be, the bracha from the guest. So if I as the Kohen, I the host of the house, waive my Kohen rights, I'll let the Yisrael guest bench, that's easier. But I'm going to get to another problem in a second, which is similar to what you're saying. But so now you have the case where the host allows the guest, should allow the guest to bench, but the host is the type of host that likes the limelight. Yeah? He is the CEO of his company. He is the boss. He doesn't like it that he's had these guests at his house, and the guest is the one getting the limelight of the benching. Can he say, I want to lead the benching. Forget about Kohanim for a second. You got two Yisraelim who are older than you. You're the host. You're 39 years old. And you have two 70-year-olds at your table. Halacha should be, right, that the guest should be the lead. So 171, 170. They're both Talmidei Chacham. You tell the 71-year-old, you lead the benching. That's what Shulchan Aruch says, right? Okay. Can the younger host say, you know what? I'm the boss. It's my house. I want to lead benching. Yes or no? No? Says Shulchan Aruch. V'im ba'al habayis rotza levater. It's interesting how he says it. He wants to wave the bracha to him. He's such a nice guy. I don't need any brachas. I don't need any brachas. And I'm going to lead the benching. Olevarach brachas ha'mazon ba'atzmo rashoi. He is allowed to do so. You're with me? Says the Ramah, V'hu adin, similarly, she'yachol liten levarech l'mishayirtzeh. He could also give it to whoever he wants. So he's 39. He's got a 71-year-old on this side. I'm not pointing to anyone. I'm sure you're all under 50. Yeah? So it's a 71-year-old on one side and a 70-year-old on the other side. Halacha should be the 71-year-old should lead benching. According to the Ramah, if the host says, nah, I don't like the 71-year-old so much. I want this 70-year-old to bench. Says the Ramah, he can. What's eerily absent from the Shulchan Aruch, which makes it a good chabura, is the mention of a Kohen here at all.
And could he choose himself? If he can choose, he can choose himself too.
Okay, wait, speak that out a little bit quick, because I'm going to nail my chabura right here. Okay, you're saying, I'm a Yisrael, okay, and I have a Kohen on my right side and a Yisrael on the left side. What do you see from the Shulchan Aruch? Can... against the Kohen? You could pick the Yisrael against the Kohen. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you can infer from the other case.
Okay.
That you have the choice. And if you can choose yourself, you can choose any other guest.
Even over a Kohen?
Well,
that's the question.
Yeah.
This is the question. So now that is my million-dollar question. Says the Shaar HaTzion. Okay, 1 second. Says the Shaar HaTzion. Wait, one more point. We have to say one more fact. One more fact before we get to that is, if I decide to give it to the 70-year-old instead of the 71-year-old in regular case of all Yisraelim, says the Be'alacha, it would be proper for me to ask permission from the 71-year-old, is it okay that I give the 70-year-old? So even though I've got power over here, yeah, it would be proper, says the Bir Halacha, to get permission from the older person who I'm taking it away from and giving it to the younger one. If I'm taking it for myself, I don't have to ask permission at all. But if I'm giving it from the taking away from the 71-year-old and giving it to the 70-year-old, then I should ask permission. It's proper I ask permission from the 71-year-old first.
Fine. What would he say if the 71-year-old says no?
So it gets confusing. Again, if the 71-year-old is Machbin says no, probably it's better that you let him bench. Are you gonna? Is it also to let the 70-year-old? It sounds like from the Bir Halacha, no, you can let the 70-year-old, but it would be proper. I was covered. Again, the key words, and I'll end with the story about this. The key point, the words of this whole Chabura is what? Darke Shalom. This whole system was set up to cause no fighting. Unfortunately, we've messed that up badly, to say the least. Okay, now we move on to my final Shartzino. There is a one-line footnote, which the Mishnah Berurah himself wrote on his own comments earlier on, where he says, well, what happens? He's like, I'm not sure about this case. What about the case where you're the host, and you have a Kohen on one hand, and have you as one of your guests, and a Yisrael as your other guests? Are you allowed to take it away from the Kohen and give it to the Yisrael? He says like this. Here, it says, okay, here, Akisha Balabais wrote Seba Atzmovar. He says, even if the Balabais himself wants to bench, in other words, I won't even bench myself. Forget about taking it away from the Kohen and giving it to the Yisrael. It's my house. I want to bench myself. And there's a Kohen right here. Can I take it away from the Kohen? Says the Mishnah Berurah, I'm not sure. Tzarich la'ayin, I don't know, he says, maybe. Im tzarich l'rishus me'ah Kohen awo. Do I need the Kohen's permission or not? Says the Mishnah Berurah, maybe it's like what we said later on, that which is what I was just telling you, that maybe I can take it away from the Kohen even without his permission. But what the Mishnah Berurah doesn't really speak about at all is, can I give it to the other Yisrael without even getting permission from the Kohen? Sounds like not. Sounds like, according to the Mishnah Berurah, this is what I would tell you, I understand it coming out, and it's not so clear. If I'm a Yisrael and there's a Kohen in as a guest, I could take it away from him. It's not so clear that I can, but it sounds like I can, even probably, possibly, without permission. If I want to take it away from the Kohen, though, and give it to the other Yisrael, even though it's my house, you wouldn't even be here if not for me. We wouldn't have a Zeman. It's my food. I paid for it. And yet, sounds like I need to ask permission from that Kohen to give to the other Yisrael. To be clear, I have in my notes that the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Halachos and the Sefer Birchas Yitzchok disagree with this based on what you were saying, David, and what you were saying, Shalom, that no, once I am the Baal HaBos, I'm in charge, and I have the right to give it to myself away from you, the Kohen, why can I also give it to someone else? It's my bracha, I own the bracha. If I want to give it to someone else, maybe I can. I don't need your Kohen's permission. That's what I had in my notes from the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Halachos. Last night when I was preparing it, I looked it up. They don't say that as clearly as I thought they did years ago when I wrote this up. So I'm not so sure that I really still believe that in today's Chabura, relearning this topic in preparation of this year. They definitely are a little bit more broader than the Mishnah Berurah and give a little bit more power to the Baal HaBos, but I'm not so sure. The upshot, I think, in the Halacha is don't play with fire. Even though they may not be Kohanim, just give it to the Kohen. What are you driving yourself crazy for? I think the best answer is just give it to the Kohen, unless you have a compelling reason why you want to lead the Zeman. I don't know, you really like the limelight. And if that's the case, ask the Kohen, and he should be mokel. Yeah.
But doesn't the Baal HaBos still have to say Rishus HaKohanim?
So yeah, no, you should, you're correct. If he's mokel, he should say Rishus HaKohanim, for sure. That's what I think Mechila means, is that you ask the Kohen, you say, do you mind if I lead the bench? And he says yes. And then when I do it, I say Rishus HaKohanim, and I do it with permission of the Kohanim, and then everything is good. But the upshot of this, and we have to get to this story. Someone told me this story last night. As I was speaking to someone, told me a story that he heard from someone else. I said, oh, this is a good story to end with. Because the upshot of this chabura is very simple. You want a takeaway message besides to keep on giving honor to those Kohanim, even though they may be fake Kohanim, is that the lesson is let's control ourselves in terms of what we get angry about. Meaning the whole point of this halacha is Darkei Shalom. How often do we get upset about much, things that are ridiculous that really shouldn't be getting upset about? And if we just control ourselves, it doesn't really make a difference who leads the benching. It's not like, you get $1 million for leading the benching. Then it would be worth fighting about.
I'm also known to be
quick to anger, exactly. So I'm speaking to the Kohanim as well over here. They should be as mochel as us Yisraelim are mochel, and especially because Kohanim are quick to anger, for sure.
With the three exceptions to the rule.
Three exceptions. I don't know. Kohanim. If they want to be a Kohen, they can't renounce that midah of theirs, that attribute. You want to be a Kohen, you have to say you're very zariz, you're very careful, and you're very quick, you're very on top of things. So I saw this, someone told me this great story, which I had heard back in my head, but it was a good reminder of the story, is there was once a couple of, 8th graders, or maybe 9th graders, 10th graders, in yeshiva 50 years ago. Maybe this is one of you guys. I hope no one here in the room was one of these guys, no? But, don't admit this if you are. And so they were decided, what are they going to do at night? So make prank phone calls. I hope no one here ever did such a thing. Now my kids don't even know how to use a regular phone. You have the cell phones and then the numbers. No one picks up any phone calls anyway. But prank phone calls. But who are they going to prank phone call? It's not geschmack to just prank phone call your neighbor. Gedole Yisrael. They're going to prank the Gedolim. So they call Rav Moshe Feinstein at midnight. At 11 o'clock at night. 11 o'clock at night. Well, late at night. Yep. Prank phones. Was it you? I hope it wasn't you. No?
No, he lived next door. So
okay, sure. So maybe. I don't know. I hope there's no one here. And so they decide they're going to prank Ramosha. So a guy calls up, and Ramosha's sleeping. But the Rebbetzin picks up the phone, and he says, we have a shiloh for Ramosha Feinstein. It's two ninth graders, whatever. Yeah. One of them probably is not on the phone. One is a prank pushing the friend to do it. Okay. Ninth grader calls Ramosha. The Rebbetzin picks up. She says, Ramosha's sleeping. Is it important to Shiloh that I have to wake him? And they say, absolutely, you have to wake Ramosha. It's ninth graders. She wakes up Ramosha. Ramosha gets on the phone. He says, can I help you? They say, we have a Shiloh for Ramosha. So Ramosha said, okay, one second. Is it a halachic Shiloh? And they say, yes. He said, I need to wash Negel Vassar and make brachas or whatever. I have no time or whatever. Wash Negel Vassar, yeah? And I'll be there in a few minutes. So Ramosha, can you imagine Ramosha, elderly Ramosha already? He gets up, he's washing Negel Vassar, gets back on the phone, and he says, okay, well, ask the Shaila. They ask them the dumbest Shaila in the entire world, because they have these punk ninth graders who don't know anything. And Ramosha immediately ascertains that this is a prank phone call. Instead of getting mad at the boys, what does Ramosha do? He says, let me ask you a question. He says, what's your name? What yeshiva are you in? They don't want to tell him the yeshiva. Ramosha said, don't worry. I'm not going to get you in trouble. I just want to know what yeshiva you go to. So tell him what yeshiva they go to. And he says, what gemara are you learning? Boys have no idea what gemara they're learning. He says, okay, we'll check one second. They go look on their shelf. Oh, we're doing Bava Metzia. So Ramosha says, what daf are you up to? So they check what daf. Ramosha says, okay, let's learn some Gemara. It's 11:30 at night. Ramosha's just woken up. The guys, I don't know why they just hang up the phone, but I guess, okay. But so they say, fine. It takes out a Gemara. Ramosha says, do you know the past Gemara you just did? They said, no, we don't know the Gemara. So Ramosha says, okay, I'll teach it to you. Repeat after me. So Ramosha teaches them the Gemara. They repeat after him. They mess it up. Ramosha teaches it again. Three times, they finally get the Gemara. Ramosha says, do you know Rashi? I don't know Rashi. So Ramosha says, okay, I'll teach you Rashi. Ramosha teaches him Rashi. Then Ramosha says, did you do the Tosvos on the Gemara? He said, yeah, Rebbe taught us Tosvos, we have no idea what Tosvos says. Ramosha says, I'll teach you Tosvos. Ramosha says, you understand the Tosvos, they understand the Gemara, they understand the Rashi, they understand the Tosvos. Ramosha says, now I'm going to tell you a bomb kasha, a question, a great question on this Tosvos. I want you to ask this to your Rebbe tomorrow morning. Fine. To teach him the question, boys, Moshe makes them repeat the question, and they get off the phone. Next day in yeshiva, they get to the Gemara, get to the Rashi, Tosis. Boy raises his hand for Tosis. Rabbi says, okay, you know, Moshe, what question do you have? What question do you have today? Boy hasn't raised his hand once in the entire year. And the boy asks this bomb question. The Rebbe is stunned. He says, I got to think about the question. It's a good question. Yeah? Rebbe goes over the boy all week. He says, every day after. He says, I'm still thinking about the question. At the end of the week, he gives the boy the answer to the question. The boy feels like $1 million. The story goes, the boy did a complete turnaround, and he became a Rebbe in a yeshiva, or became a Talmud Chacham himself, all because Rav Moshe, at 11:30, when he was woken up, didn't rip that boy, which he could have, and could have killed the guy. You know, could have got him in trouble, suspended, expelled, whatever it is. Concept is that we shouldn't be so makbid if we're not asked to lead the benching. How upset do we get in terms of the scheme of life? Being woken up at 11:30, at least to me, seems like a bigger deal. But for Moshe, his sleep was so important. Obviously, he's a gadol hadar. He's carrying the world on his shoulders. Didn't get upset. How much more so should we not get upset if we let the kohen? Okay, so we'll let the kohen lead the benching. It's not such a big deal. Or the kohen, on the other hand, should be meichel. If it's not, if someone else is going to lead the benching, he should be okay with the fact that he's not getting the honor of the benching. And if we understand this, then we'll really do the Zimun in the proper way, and we'll have proper midos.